Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
The title of our message today is Recognizing Who Jesus Really Is. Recognizing who Jesus really is. You know, a great way to share the gospel is by asking someone, who do you think Jesus really is? Many people have many opinions about Jesus. The truth is, your belief and your relationship with Jesus Christ will determine your present achievements in life and your eternal future. So it's important for you to know who Jesus is, truly who he is. Jesus came to give us the best life we can possibly experience. In John 10 and 10, he said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This world cannot produce anything better than the life that Jesus Christ has for you when you accept him as Lord and Savior. God made it very clear that Jesus was sent to save the world. And he came to save the world from eternal punishment and to grant those who believe in him eternal life. In John 3 and 16, it says, God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Skipping down to verse 36, it says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. Instead, he will suffer eternal punishment. And I'm going to cut to the quick today because, you know, there are many times when you hear preaching that is, maybe it doesn't really tell you everything you need to know. So I am here today to tell you everything you need to know when it comes to rejecting Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. Many times when we talk to people about Jesus, we talk about the love of God. For God so loved the world, but we miss the part about eternity. What will happen when you die if you reject Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord? And that's the reason why God says in Ezekiel, warn people. Your technique in sharing the gospel should be to warn people that if they reject Jesus Christ, they're going to a Christless eternity and more. What does that really mean? That means that they will be punished in the lake of fire for all eternity. Revelation chapter 20 and 13 says this. It says, God will judge every person according to their works while on earth, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So this is the final judgment that Revelation is talking about here. And I'll start from the beginning. This is found in Revelation 20 and 13. It says, God will judge every person according to their works while on earth, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the first death being when we pass from this life and we go into the next life. The second death is for those who don't accept Jesus Christ in this life. So you'll die once, but then you're going to die again, the Bible says. This time it's the spiritual death of punishment. Verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The way that you get written into the book of life is by accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. Now, this is important because we may not be that concerned about eternity right now, but we really do need to be concerned because we don't know when we're going to enter eternity. But the truth is, everyone has an appointment with death and an appointment with God. In Hebrews chapter 9 and 27, it says, it is appointed for people to die once, but after this, the judgment. You will be judged based upon accepting or rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior and obeying the Word of God. So let me ask you a question. Have you recognized who Jesus Christ is, and are you obeying Him? Because this is extremely important, folks. You know, there's a recent survey that stated most Americans, 80%, agree Jesus Christ is the Son of God the Father, while 10% disagree and 10% aren't really sure. Well, if you're not sure, let me help you to decide. All truth is found in the Bible. Everything in the Bible is the absolute truth about everything. In Psalm 119 in verse 160, it says, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endure forever. So whatever the Bible says is true, and it will never, ever change. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away or change. Our culture is rejecting God's laws based upon their emotions and their human reasoning. What a big mistake. Don't be deceived, folks. Every person will be judged by the words found in the Bible. Many say the Bible is an ancient book. It's outdated. No, it's not. It's an eternal book. It's the same book that God will use to judge us in eternity. In Proverbs 14 and 12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. People living according to their human reasoning and their emotions, who stray away from the truth of the Word of God, will find themselves one day judged in the lake of fire. See, to ignore what the Bible says about relationships will not only lead to heartache, but eternal death. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, it really kind of describes the world in which we live today. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitterness for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And that's the world in which we live today. Why do we have to obey the Bible? It's an ancient book. Why do we have to do this with relationships? Why should we think that the world has not that the world is not changing and evolving and all of these things? Look, don't worry about it. Just don't get caught up in it. I said, don't worry about it, but don't get caught up by compromising in this world system, because God will have the final word. God will have the final word in the judgment. when we really read the Word of God, we see that some dominant truths come forward. And one of the dominant truths is that God promised the world a Savior, one who would destroy sin, Satan, and his power and his activities. God told the devil after his deception that led humanity to spiritual death in the Garden of Eden. Listen to what he said in Genesis chapter 3 and 15. I will make you and the woman enemies to each other. Your descendants and her descendants will be enemies. One of her descendants will crush your head, and you will bite his heel. Now, in that verse, God prophesied the coming of Jesus Christ. He prophesied the coming of our Savior and the destruction of Satan's kingdom. There's a little verse in 1 John chapter 3, and it's verse 8. It says, the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. So from the very beginning, even in the garden, when Adam and Eve first sinned, God had a plan. And though it appeared that Satan won, he was telling him, you have lost. Because there's one who is coming to destroy all of your works against humanity.
Thank you for joining us for today's message. Here's Pastor Steve with an invitation to this Sunday's very special service.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Thanks for listening to the program today. I want to personally invite you to our Sunday worship service. It's a special service called Family and Friends. I'd like to meet you and shake your hand and pray for you personally. You know, your coming is the only way that I know that you're listening. I want to thank you for your prayers and your support of this ministry. God is touching lives and people are being blessed because of you.
Come join us this Sunday for a special day of worship and fellowship on our Family and Friends Day. You'll make some new friends, enjoy some excellent live music with our praise and worship team, and Pastor Hill would like to meet you personally. That's this Sunday for our Family and Friends Day. We look forward to seeing you there. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. You can find out more about the many ministries at Spirit Life Church and other upcoming special events by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Now today we're talking about recognizing who Jesus Christ is. And let me begin by saying he is not just another religious founder. There are three major religions in the world, and they are Christianity, Islam, and Hinduism. The second two most popular religions are based upon their teachings alone. Christianity is based upon the person, the deity of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. His deity separates him from the other religious founders. They are not God. They were men. They died. You can go to where they were buried. Jesus died and he rose again. You can go to where he was buried, but he's not there anymore. Because he rose again and he's seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And yes, let's give God praise for his son, Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only belief that forgives sin, defeats Satan's power, and leads to eternal life. I don't know how many religions that you've studied, but it's very interesting that many of them have a pathway to paradise and all of these things. But when you read them, you see it's really not spiritual. And I won't go into it with you now. The point is that other religions, their pathway to heaven or to paradise is to continue to live in the same old fleshly way we lived here on earth. Well, that's not going to happen in heaven. And that's not going to happen in eternity. It's important for us to realize, folks, look, Jesus Christ is the only way to God in heaven. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am another way. He said, I am the only way. No one comes to God the Father except through me. In 1 Timothy 2 and 5, it says, for there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life on the cross to purchase freedom for everyone. No other religious leader died for his followers. If they did, it didn't matter. And they didn't, because they would still need a savior, because they were still born in sin. Jesus Christ was sinless. He's the Son of God. What I'm trying to tell you today, folks, is that we will all be judged for our decision whether or not we accept Jesus Christ as personal savior and Lord, based on recognizing who he really is. God provided prophetic markers for us so that we could identify Jesus Christ when he came. Because throughout history, God was saying he's coming, the Savior is coming, using different prophets. So one of the things that was predicted was that Jesus would be born of a virgin. And this was predicted over 700 years before he was born. In Isaiah 7 and 14, it says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Again, he's giving us markers. He's giving us signs to let us know who Jesus is, who his son is. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. 700 years later, the angel visits Mary, and this is found in Luke chapter 1 and 34, and he begins to tell her, you're going to be pregnant. You're going to have a child. And listen to what she says. She asks the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That was one of the markers so that we could identify Jesus. He would be born of a virgin. Another one was that Jesus would be called the Son of God. In Psalm 2 and 7, it says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. Moving forward to Matthew 3 and 16, it says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You see, God used prophecy to let us know that this is all supernatural. This is all things that I saw in the past, all the way into the future of the time in which you would live and others would live, to let you know this is true. You cannot manipulate prophecy. Things that were spoken hundreds of years, sometimes 1,000 years ahead of time about Jesus Christ. He came and he fulfilled these things. It was said that Jesus would have a ministry of miracles. In Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4, it says, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame shall leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. This is speaking about the miracles that Jesus would have as the Son of God, as the Messiah, and this was written over 700 years before he came. Matthew chapter 9 and 35 gives us the prophecy being fulfilled. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. And as we continue to look to the Bible and the New Testament, we find out that Jesus possessed power over nature. He would speak to storms and tell them to stop, and they would stop and become calm. He would walk on water. In Matthew chapter 14 and 25, it says about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward his disciples having difficulty as they were rowing across to the other side where he told them to go. When they saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. They had never seen a man walk on the water, have you? You'd be terrified too. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost! It's a ghost!" And Jesus said to them at once, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. It's just me. I'm here with you." I'm sure you've already heard that Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus fed over 5,000 people with a few loaves and fishes twice. Jesus possessed power over death. In Luke chapter 8 and 49, while Jesus was speaking to someone who really had just been healed because they touched the hem of his garment, the people from Jairus' house, and that's where he was going because his little daughter was deathly ill, came and said, "No need to come. She died." They said, "Don't bother the teacher anymore." But Jesus went into the house. He took her by the hand and said, "Little girl, arise." And her spirit returned, and she rose up immediately, and he commanded them to give her something to eat. And the people were amazed. See, Jesus had power over death. Jesus would have a ministry of deliverance as well. Now, Acts tells about this. Acts chapter 10 and 38, it says, God gave Jesus the Holy Spirit with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by evil spirits, for God was with him. And this is one of the things that you find in other religions that is totally silent. They don't talk about the devil. They don't talk about having power over the devil or evil spirits. They don't even mention it. But the Word of God tells us distinctly, Jesus Christ has power over the entire spirit realm. What does that mean to us? That means we don't have to be afraid of the devil. In fact, he's given us power to defeat Satan in every area of our lives.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. This concludes part one of today's message. Join us Monday for part two. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. The title of today's message is Recognizing Who Jesus Really Is, Part 1. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Lord, it's during this season that we're reminded of the cross, the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. Lord, we thank you that you so loved the world that you sent Jesus, your Son, to be our Savior. And Lord, I pray with the people now that you would save us from every sin, that you would deliver us from whatever is holding us back, for being all that you've called us to be. We ask you, Lord, to help us to live godly lives. Not only before you, but before our families, our friends, and even on the job. Help us to remember the cross during this time, that Jesus gave his life that we might be free to live for you. Bless your people, bless every person under the sound of my voice, and help us all to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.